Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in with us tonight and be with us. I want to remind you that the call-in number is 323-203-0815. So dial up and get in the queue. Remember, if you do get in the queue and we have to call you back, you may not recognize the number. Please don't let it go to voicemail. Answer it so we can talk to you and you can talk to us. I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. It means a lot to us, and we know it means a lot to you. So for now, I'm going to say, Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
I love it. I'm ready to serve.
Now, I heard great things about the classes over the weekend. Do tell.
I have the best Getting to I Do class. And I had a great class for script analysis. And this week I'm going to do what training. I'm telling you, dividing up all my concepts into secular individual situations is a lifesaver for me. Everything I knew in one weekend, I was ready to drop dead.
Oh, I bet. But were you energized at the same time?
I would try to teach everything I knew in one weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know you've got the Want Training classes coming up, and that is seriously the foundation of your work. It really, really is just like this base, this concrete base that holds you up. Not built on sand, built on stone.
All I can say is I love what I'm doing and the way I'm doing it. It's much better for me.
That's amazing. So we had our successful Monday and Wednesday night for April. I want to remind everybody we do that once a month. So watch for it in May. And if you're interested in finding out more information about that, you know where to go, www.drpatallen.com. And Dr. Allen, I get the questions and they're like, oh, I can't come to the class. I'm in New York or I'm in Brisbane. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm in Japan. I'm in Tokyo. I'm, all over the place. And so I tell them, you need to understand you can have phone with Dr. Allen on any of the subjects.
Appointment. I can do your script, I can do your dream analysis, I can do your therapy, I can do what I do.
Exactly. Near or far. So some of them can't come to those classes, the wonderful script class, the amazing want tools. And so I wanted to remind them they're going to go to info@drpatallen.com or they're going to call in the number, which they can find on the website, to make an appointment. And we've got calls waiting, Dr. Allen. Are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to tell our switchboard, our wonderful Ronan, that we are ready.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yay! I called last week and I didn't get in, so I'm glad I got here early today. So,
welcome.
Yeah, I've been following Dr. Allen for a couple of years, and so I needed a little refresher. So I've been listening to some shows and things, and I do have some questions. And well, let me get to the list here. Questions for Pat Allen. So it says here, when negotiating a sexual relationship with a younger man, will I require a promising...
Wait a minute. Younger, under 18?
No, I'm 50, so like a 27-year-old.
Okay. I just have to redo that statement. Okay?
Okay. I didn't hear what you said.
Good. And I want you to know you're a cougar.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And a cougar is an older woman who is not that bondable, but is very sexy. And she likes toy boys to play with.
Right. But how do you negotiate with the younger men? Do you, if you're not trying to be mated or married, you're definitely trying.
You don't try to marry a toy boy because they want babies. And if you're not capable of giving them babies in a marriage, they often do not have an interest unless you're ungodly rich.
Maybe they're not being completely honest, but the guy that I'm thinking about has said he's not interested in having babies. So that's part of it. But so no marriage. But how do you negotiate the relationship if you want it to be?
Are you chasing him or is he chasing you?
I have attempted to not chase. I tend to fall back into that, but I've really been working on I feels and being patient, being passive, patient, and vulnerable. This has been going on for, he's my number two.
You flirted him into your life with your eyes and your smile and your responsiveness. Is that correct?
Sort of not the case, because I actually reached out to him first in a different context. Somebody that we knew died by suicide, so I reached out to him just to make sure that he was okay, and we had some conversations, and then
I ended up... That's chasing him with a good reason. So can't
right.
you think of something to ask him for help?
Right, I did.
Ask him for help and do the same thing you did when you called him for compassion.
Okay.
That's manipulative flirting.
Okay, asking for help, you can do that.
Anytime you want.
Just cut out.
You've done it. You're already experienced.
Yeah, it's cutting out. I can't really hear what you're saying. So
I'm saying you're already experienced at manipulating him for help, giving him help or asking for help.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Well,
so that
is the same tool.
It's the same tool, giving help or asking for help. Okay. So right now the relationship has progressed, but there are no dates. We're not getting together. It's just sort of a text flirt and, you know, sending pictures.
There are no dates yet.
No dates yet.
You are going to be invited to a wedding, a party, and you are going to ask him to escort you.
Okay.
Which is
I can miraculously get tickets to something and I need an escort.
You what?
I can miraculously get tickets to something and need an escort.
You miraculously get tickets from your boss or your partner or your mom or dad and you want an escort.
Okay. Now, when you're talking to people who are looking for mated and married, you say negotiate monogamy. So with someone younger, I actually feel more comfortable.
No. Monogamy is whatever two people decide is the number. monogamy does not have to be one-on-one. You can say, if you have sex with other people, we've got to have blood tests, we have to have protection from pregnancy and disease. You have to take super good care of yourself medically.
Okay. And then, what was the other question? Okay, so I do feel more comfortable not being one of many, but I also, if I were to try to date someone else, then I would want to make sure that
you would be able. The deal is you would inform each other of being sexually involved with somebody else, which would flag you that you may not want the relationship anymore. But
right.
I want you to understand, if you know you're a cougar, older woman with a younger man, you negotiate the openness of the monogamy so that he doesn't feel like sneaking around and you don't feel like you're trapped in a cell with no man around.
Okay. So then you still negotiate the continuity and the longevity the same. So I want it.
If you're not being serviced and he's not getting service once a week, you're not in a relationship.
Okay. And then longevity can be 2 months, 6 months, or
I would go month to month.
Okay.
Month
just
too much.
Sounds good. I actually have two more questions that are not related to that. Is it okay if I ask them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So when you're getting gifts or special attention from someone in the courting phase or in like the dating phase, like the very beginning of the relationship, is it appropriate to send strokes and appreciation after each text or photo or gift? I know when you're courting, you're supposed to do 2-to-1, but you're also supposed to appreciate what they're giving you. So,
he's not giving you anything. You're negotiating friends with perks.
Oh no, I'm talking. It's a different question. So, like, if he's sending.
Talking about a real relationship.
If he's starting to, let's say a real relationship and he's sending, I got you tickets or I got you this and it's like 1-to-1, or if he's sending you a picture and you appreciate that he's sending you a picture or whatever it is, do you still do
on to everything he does, says, in a courteous way.
That's what I was wondering, but I was confused by the 2-to-1 versus the respond to everything in a courteous way.
Yes, appreciate him, respect him.
Okay. All right, and then this question I've had for a long time, and I'm not sure. It's when you send the ritual strokes during an 8-week period, do you start the time over if they reply?
He's broken the 6 or 8 weeks and you are on another 8-week run.
Okay, that was my question. So if I reach out and I say happy birthday and he says thank you and nothing else,
those strokes are ritual strokes.
Right.
Birthday, Christmas, Hanukkah, graduation, those are ritual strokes. Those
right.
are given because of the date rather than the relationship.
So then if I say happy birthday as a ritual stroke and he replies, we go into another 8 weeks.
Yes.
Great. Okay, because that was my question. Because I'm in 8 weeks.
You're giving.
I'm in 8 weeks with my
stroke.
Yeah, so a ritual stroke. As long as he replies, then you get to start over. If he doesn't reply, then you're still in your first 8 weeks, I guess.
Reply to your stroke. He's ignored you.
Right. So then you would still continue on and wait the rest of the time. Okay.
No. If you send him a ritual stroke, that's your stroke to him.
Right.
Therefore.
So that. I just can't hear. I don't know what's the matter with it's my phone or something.
Yeah, she's coming through fine, so I don't know.
Oh, you are? Okay, so yeah, I'm having trouble hearing Dr. Allen. So, for example, my number one I'm in 8 weeks with. We started the 8 weeks at, like, January 1st, and I said, Happy New Year. He said, Happy birthday to me. I said, Happy birthday to him. So my birthday was March 11th. He said, Happy birthday to me, and then his birthday was at the end of March, and I said, Happy birthday to him, and he replied. So do I continue the 8 weeks from my birthday, or is it from when I said happy birthday to him? Does that make sense? It sounds so convoluted, but.
If he responds, that's the 8 weeks.
Okay, so I need to change that date.
If he doesn't respond, you never consider him gone.
Okay. Yeah, he responded, so I will, but I didn't extend, I didn't start the 8 weeks over, so I will start the 8 weeks over, and that will give me another 14 days.
Yes.
Okay, so that's one and two, so my number three, I have another question about my number three guy. We were doing flirting back and forth via text. And he, it wasn't on a date, but through text, he asked to get in. And I said, oh, nope, just joking, back and forth. Nope, I don't think so. But then the next day, I made an appointment with him. And we talked through text. And I told him that I didn't feel comfortable doing that with him because he's a heavy drinker. And so he has responded to me since then. He hasn't been flirting or responding as much. And I was kind of wondering what...
I'll tell you why. Because you lightened it up and got jokey instead of serious. I want you to say to me what he said to you when he asked to get in. What did he say?
It was through text, and he said something to the effect of, but you will at some point, and I said, nope. He said something
first
to the effect
of. First
of
all, I thought I'd teach, thank you for asking. I'm chemically attracted to you as well, but I've decided not to have casual sex anymore. So unless you're ready to be in a monogamous, sexual, social, continuous, and aiming towards mating or marriage, I don't know which you want. Do you want mating or marriage?
Mating.
Mating. Mm-hmm. Unless we're willing to go to a mating relationship as long as we love each other. So are you ready to get permanently engaged? For a mating relationship, and that includes a ring.
Okay.
But it may not include a legal ceremony. It may include a ceremony. I'm a minister, and I've done ceremonies that are not legal. People didn't sign any documents, but we had the full wedding.
Sounds fun. So what I did, I realized my mistake. I realized that I did the joking thing, and it wasn't
Don't
clear.
Don't joke.
No, I made, so we were just, it was a joking conversation. It was not really.
I got news for you. When a man asks to get in your body, it's not a joke. He's taking a risk.
Good point.
On asking you to be his woman.
Good point.
Take
good
it
point.
Seriously.
Good point. I made the mistake. So the next day I made an appointment and I told him that I made a mistake, that I told him that, and I just told him why I wouldn't let him in, which was that he was too much of a heavy drinker for me. I didn't want to get bonded to somebody who was that much of
That sounds very reasonable. But you do know that business of joking around is not kind.
Right. I won't react. Now I won't react the same way. It was just the following the mood of the conversation. So,
good girl.
He has contacted me since I told him that I was. He said something that he was hurt that I had said he was a heavy drinker. So he was. He said something about him being a party animal, and I said, you have every right to drink as much as you want within reason, but I don't find it attractive, and I don't want that. And he dropped it.
I love you. I love you. That's beautiful. It's courteous. It's not fake humor. And it tells the truth.
Right, and he hasn't gone away, so he's just backed off.
I understand. What you're doing is molding him into a gentleman. A man is a man until he meets a lady he loves. It's supposed to be his mother. Oftentimes,
right.
It's not his mother. It's you. And you are responsible for saying no to what you're not comfortable with as a way to give him an opportunity to get in by negotiating your boundaries.
Right. Okay. So I'm on the right path with him. But here's the problem. He's my number three because he's a heavy drinker. But as far as compatibility, communication, and chemistry, he's really kind of my number one. So I've never been a heavy drinker, so it's not something I understand. Is that something that men will change to be with somebody, or is that just sort of
Dear, all I'm saying is keep his penis out of your mouth, anus, and vagina until you're comfortable with his drinking pattern.
Okay. Which probably
That's
will be
all
never.
There is.
That's all there is. Okay.
Thank you,
Connor. If he wants to date you without intercourse, fine.
Yeah, okay. That sounds great. Those are all the questions that I had, and you answered them, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, yes. Connor.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, some really good and valid questions there with
yeah.
that caller. And so it looks like we've got another caller getting ready here. Yeah, interesting concept, Dr. Allen. The whole thing about joking. So, okay. Hey, caller, you're on the line with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Oh.
All right.
The gentleman met me online, and I kind of picked with my eyes and my ears. But
Who
he has all the
first?
Qualities that
eyes
I...
Eyes or ears?
Probably eyes.
Everybody picks with their eyes and ears, but it's the priority. Do you pick for sex?
Right.
Are you trying to get laid or are you trying to get paid? Harvard did a study in the 90s. Two-thirds of men mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. One-third, gigolos, mate and marry women that are in rich families, have their own money, and are willing to for them to have. Two-thirds of women mate and marry for status and financial stability. I'm Mrs. So-and-so and we have three kids, blah, blah, blah. One-third of women mate and marry for sensual and sexual stability. They're called cougars. So,
right.
What are we talking about?
I'm trying to get paid.
Okay, and that means you want a legal document. Is that right?
Yes, and I want to get married.
That's marriage, legal documents.
Right.
We marry sexually, they marry financially. If we're the men, we marry financially. If they're the women, they marry to get paid.
Right.
We can, we're both male and female, and we have the right to decide which side of our nature we want to marry somebody else.
Right. He has
so
all the qualities I want.
You want to get paid. What?
I do. I want to get paid. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he has all the
book on
he has
this,
all the qualities
the book
I
on
want.
This, wait a minute. The book on
Go
this
ahead.
Is a book that's based on the theory of the Harvard test. It's called The Evolution of Desire by David Buss, B-U-S-S.
Okay.
We're having a gigantic upheaval of sexual boundaries in our culture today. Me Too represents women becoming individuals with rights to say no. Me Too does not help you get married if you don't set boundaries.
Yes.
All right.
So
what is your question to me?
The thing is we got very intense very quickly.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm very attracted to him.
Within 3 minutes if he's interested in you.
All right. Well, it's mutual, both of us.
Your instinct tells you if he's a compatible man for you. But it may take a couple of dates before that happens. Because we tend, in our today's world, to pick with our eyes instead of our security-based ears.
Right. Well, he has everything I want for my ears, so that works too.
All right.
And he also knows that I won't have intercourse unless I'm in a committed relationship.
And that's virtue. Men play with vaginas, but they marry virtue better. You know that
but
men
over
know
the
they
phone,
shouldn't get cheap sex. Men know that. And I've had so many men call themselves dogs. I'm a dog. I want in. When she gets in, when I can get in, I enjoy it, but I feel guilty.
So
and
that's
God
what
help
I'm
women that allows casual sex. If you're under 45, perimenopausal, if you're under 45, you run the risk of bonding like super glue to his body, pheromone-wise. If
right.
you're a man and you're over 50, you run the risk of bonding to Miss Teeny Bopper, sexy claw woman.
Right. So I'm getting very attached to him just by phone calls and texting, but we haven't been able to meet in person yet.
Well, then say to him, I really appreciate the attention you're giving me, my left lobe, my intellectual lobe, with your texting, but it's boring me stupid. What do you think about calling me on the phone with your sensuous voice?
He does call me too.
Okay. So what's wrong with the balance of texting, emailing, phoning?
We haven't met in person yet.
Well, then you would say I appreciate our inhibited communication, but if we don't meet, I'm done.
Okay. so we're long distance, and so there's been opportunities, but then we weren't able to. So the thing that I'm concerned about is
you tried.
We did. We both tried. But the thing I'm concerned of is it's been so intense. What? It's been so intense that I haven't been able to, when I meet in person, he knows what my boundaries are, but I don't know how to convey.
What do you mean? It's called, I appreciate you want to make love to me, which is not true. He wants to have sex with you. I appreciate you want to make love to me, but I'm not going to have casual sex. I'm not going to risk falling in love with you and bonding to you without being in a committed, marriage-bound relationship, sir.
Right. So should I wait until I meet to tell him that? But I've been telling him over text
and
phone, too, and he knows that.
How can he have sex with you over the phone? I don't consider phone sex intercourse. Phone sex.
Right. No, I understand. I'm saying giving the boundaries.
What?
I was talking about giving the boundaries up front.
You don't give the boundaries till you're ready to set the boundaries.
Okay.
And that's called, he's in your face, and he's asking to get in. And you say thank you,
okay,
but no thank you, unless monogamy, sexually and socially, continuity. I know when you're going to call, and I know how often I'm going to see you, even if it's only once a month. It's the awareness of the boundaries. And long-term plans, same long-term plans. Friends with perks, lovers, mistress,
relationship,
whatever.
Right.
I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. I have to report child abuse, elder abuse, disabled adult abuse. I have never been required by the government. Churches, yes. Governments, no. About sex. Unless it's
okay.
Rape.
Right.
Then
okay, so right now we just have fun, and then when we meet in person, then I tell him my boundaries again.
If he finds a way to meet with you, are you the man or the woman?
I'm the woman. I've been waiting for him. He always reaches out to me.
Then I want you to know he's got to plan the plan. He's got to ask the ask, and he's got to deal with the answer.
Okay.
All right. Okay, We've got more callers. We're going to have to let you go,
thank
caller.
You
bet.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, we've got a lot of calls back, and I have Dr. Allen, so
all
I'll
right,
have to
handle them.
All right. We're going to do that right now. We're getting hooked in. Okay. And switchboard's telling me. There we go. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, for taking my call. My name is Michelle.
Hi,
I don't even actually. Hi, Pat. I honestly don't even know where to start. My husband and I have been married for 22 years, and we've been together before that 5. We met in college. I was 18.
What style of relationship do you have? Convenient, codependent, or covenant?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say it's probably codependent on both ends.
Okay.
My husband.
You don't. You're not really in love with him, but you need him.
I do.
You need him for the money or the sex?
It would be the money.
Okay. Since you're saying you think he's codependent too, is he with you for the money or the sex?
Well, let me start by saying that he has, for years, he has tracked me, he has stalked me, he has tried to hack into my
no,
email.
Darling, you're married.
He's
to
read
him,
my
if
journal
I told you correctly. Are you married to him or not?
I am married to him.
Okay, is he
married
to you for the money or the sex?
He's probably married to me for the sex.
Fine. So you want the money and he wants the sex. You sound like a perfect couple.
But I don't want to have sex with him.
You're not in love with him. You're in love with his money, and you've given him the daddy bill. The daddy bill. What was your daddy like?
My father was out on the road a lot working.
That's how you got abandoned. So guess who got that bill?
I guess it would be me.
No, you didn't get that bill. You're giving that bill to your husband.
Okay.
Or let's call him your replacement father.
Okay.
You don't sound like you're in love with him.
No, I'm not. And I haven't been for a long time. And every time I have tried to leave him or even ask for a divorce, he's manipulated
me. But you don't
me.
Have enough money.
I don't. Because we have a six-year-old son and I'm not working.
And you want to know something?
Yeah.
He's stupid enough to stay where he's not loved. What in God's name was his mother like?
Well, I don't know, but he hacked into my phone and found out I was having an affair.
I understand that. And he's staying with you?
He's trying to get me to stay. He has said that he is suicidal.
How can he get you to stay?
Because he's been manipulating me.
You're not in love with him.
I'm not
in love with him. You can service him with your vagina.
I'm not even doing that.
Well, I got news for you. Then how are you going to get the money?
I'm trying to find a job.
You know what the difference between a prostitute and a wife?
No.
The prostitute.
Someone's got money. I don't even do his laundry. He does his own laundry.
Okay. All right. So I want you to understand you have a codependent husband. And you are codependent, so enjoy.
Okay, what if I'm not happy and I'm trying to leave him, but he's manipulating me and telling me that he wants to commit suicide?
I understand that. How's that going to manipulate you? If you've got life insurance, you'll get money.
Okay.
Honey, do you understand you're with him for his money?
I'm staying with him out of convenience because I do not have a job and we have a six-year-old son. Yes.
I fully understand that. All he wants is for you to pretend you love him.
I don't want to pretend.
Fine. Then wait till he kills himself or divorces you or gets a lover. And you decide he's more valuable than you thought.
Okay. Okay.
Otherwise, you're simply a prostitute.
Oh, I don't want to. Okay.
And you're not even a prostitute. Do you give him sex? Do you make love with him once a week?
No. We haven't. We have not had sex in over 6 months.
Okay, well then you're not a prostitute either. You're a daughter with a father you want to screw.
I don't even want to screw him.
No, you do want to screw him, but it's for money, not sex.
Okay.
Well, feelings aren't negotiable. You're not in love with your husband, and he's not strong enough to divorce you. Well, then you'll have to wait till he kills himself.
Okay. All right. If he does,
talks about suicide, call the paramedics immediately.
Right.
I did call suicide prevention, and I did talk with him last night about it.
And what did you say, and what did he say?
I asked him the three questions from suicide prevention that they want you to engage in conversation with, which is, have you thought about how you're going to kill yourself? And he immediately said, that's between me and my psychiatrist.
Okay. Second question.
And he suffers from depression terribly. His depression is awful.
But he's seeing a psychiatrist.
He's seen a psychiatrist, and he's been doing ketamine treatment.
What's the third question?
The second question is, I couldn't even get to it. I didn't even get to it. When do you expect to commit suicide, and how do you expect to commit suicide?
Yes, that's a standard question. What's the third question?
Well, those were the three questions for suicide.
Okay, I blurred them together.
Yes.
Now,
how, when, and when?
Are you going to go to the funeral or are you not?
I would go to the funeral, yes, I would. But he's not going to do it. I know that he's not.
Oh.
I know how he is.
That's miraculous. That's miraculous. That is not so. There is a human being that is so bonded to you that they're talking about killing themselves. I already said if they talk, call the paramedics immediately. I want you to understand you are a gold digger that's giving this man the bill for your father. Do you understand?
Yes.
And karma will pay you back.
Okay.
What is the reason you won't divorce him and get a job?
I've been trying to do that. I just recently found out how much he's been manipulating me and how codependent we are on each other.
He's not manipulating you. You are manipulating you into thinking you can't survive without his money. You don't mind living without him. But you don't want to live without his money.
Okay.
Have you been listening to the sexual harassment info?
No.
On television and papers?
The stuff that's going on in entertainment, yes.
Have you noticed that the sexual harassment is he talks her into having sex and she says, okay. And then he finds out she's going to the cops or whatever she's doing. And he starts trying to manipulate her with money, bribery, blackmail. Got it?
Yes.
Do you understand a man is saying, I'm thinking of killing myself if I can't have you?
Yes.
And you're saying, and I don't have a job, so die.
Okay.
Why don't you divorce him?
I'm in the process of actually doing that.
What?
I'm trying to get away from him.
Dear, what city do you live in?
I live near San Francisco.
Go to any center that takes care of women that are being intimidated, seduced, manipulated in any way like you are. Do you have any kids?
Yes.
How many?
One.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
How old?
Six.
Okay, he's already passed his infancy, and being with you and his father the way you are is not exactly giving you a better idea of family than you got from your family.
Yes.
So why don't you go to a care center for women and leave the kid with him?
Because I don't think he's capable of handling a son on his own. Because of his depression, he self-medicates with drinking. He whispers. He tries to whisper in my ear at night.
I got news for you. If he's close enough to whisper, you allowed it.
Okay.
Take your child to a care center where abused women live until they get a job.
Okay.
Do it.
I will.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Okay. That was interesting. That was interesting. That was interesting.
That was interesting.
It is. I see that. That's kind of shocking because you never know when somebody's actually going to take their
own life. Anybody who's talking suicide deserves somebody that calls the paramedics to help save their life. Anybody.
And interestingly enough, today you were at a great benefit with Robert Storr, who not only has a personal connection to suicide, he also treats veterans that are thinking of suicide. Is that correct?
He is the director of the Los Angeles branch of the American Vets Group.
So,
of PTSD soldiers.
So what happened today at the gala? How'd that go?
It went so tenderly. The staff on the group were there. They were multicolored, which was beautiful, because the audience also was multicolored, so it was very universal. And people got up, one man got up and started crying about the soldiers that need help, you see. And Robert Storr, the director and a student of mine who uses my work, he told about the efforts that their little company is doing and how the other 10 groups in the country are working in order to help men that have been so traumatized that they need anti-terrorism treatment to survive.
It's amazing, and it knows no cultural boundaries.
No cultural. The staff was multi-dimensional on all levels, men, women, and I was very proud of Robert, and I was glad that I submitted his company. It isn't his company, it's a nonprofit agency.
Right.
And that the people there did the gala. It was sponsored by my group. I'm knighted in the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, Hospitallers. We're the knights that built the hospitals and schools after trauma, the Crusades on up. We're 1,000 years old, and all we do is help people in trouble. We're not Dan Brown's, fighters.
Right.
We helped both sides, you see.
I do. Dr. Allen, one more time, the name of the company that Robert works for.
The name of the company is, I've got it out here, U.S. Vets, Serving Those Who Served.
Awesome. Okay,
US
everybody.
Vets.
If you get a chance, I'd love for you to surf to that site and see what's going on with that. Our U.S. veterans are extremely important, and them getting help and treatment is extremely important. They are valuable, and they're in pain. So please check that out. If you'd like more information about anything we've talked about today, you can go to www.drpatallen.com. If you're looking for some of Dr. Allen's amazing books and DVDs and CDs, you can go to wantistore.com. We are all out of time, and Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we run?
Way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What is it I want that I don't have? What is it I do have and I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
And right before we go, I'd just like to say suicide is very serious. When somebody says they're going to commit suicide or attempt suicide, it's not something that you can analyze. You should leave it to the professionals. You should call for help. There's all kinds of help out there.
Paramedics.
Call for help. We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.